Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report, When There Are No Doctors, when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only upon the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population, with a top tax rate of only 7%. Well, today, of course, the fears of those early opponents to this tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. And by the time Franklin D. Roosevelt was done, the top tax rate was over 90%. And the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. In 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough money to satisfy the tax man at every level. This year, the average American family had to work all the way through May 12th. In order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when we compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. Now, what do you think that makes us? This income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. The income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, and the Social Security tax is the eighth plank. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? If you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. Hey, we're talking about when there's no doctors. Now, what do you do when you lose your job? Well, you go down and you sign up for unemployment insurance. You've made provisions for that. You figured that there would come a time when you would be between jobs. You're going to lose your job, and you might be unemployed for a week or a month or 2 months, and that you'd need to have some kind of a cushion there, some kind of a plan that you'd put into operation when you're unemployed. And that's why we have unemployment insurance. And so that's why when we don't have money or a car or the electricity goes off or there's no water, we generally have a backup plan, don't we? Okay, well, what's your backup plan when there's no more medical services? You got that one scoped out? Yep. Well, this week we're going to take a look at what happens when you don't have a doctor. And the answer is, if you know what to do for yourself, you don't need the doctor to start with. Now, this isn't a rant against doctors. You know, if that's what you want, you know, get after it. But medical services, just like any other service, is here today and gone tomorrow. And we've become accustomed to these medical services. When I was a kid, going to the doctor was a rare event. And I think that When I was growing up, between the ages of, say, 5 and age 20, my personal encounter with a medical doctor was limited to probably 3 events. 3. I had pneumonia twice, and I had a bone chip in my knee. So the idea that we would have a pediatrician and that every week or every month you'd go in for your regular look-see or that you'd have your regular vaccinations, you know, we didn't have vaccinations when I was a kid. I'll take that back. I think we had 2. And I avoided both of them. And the reason was that my granny said that if God had intended for you to be vaccinated, he'd have designed you with a needle sticking out of your arm. They just hook up the syringe to the needle. So that obviously was not the case, and so she said, well, what's natural is natural, and what ain't natural ain't going to be, and so we just avoided that. Now, today, when I've got a granddaughter, and she calls, she calls once or twice a week, and she's got three little boys, and those three little boys, one of them's in the doctor every week. And I'm sitting here saying, you mean these kids are sicker than I was when I was a kid growing up, or is it that we're just more attuned to and we want to buy that service more often or more regularly? Now, also when I was a kid, we only took a bath once a week. So our hygiene back in the 1930s and 40s wasn't as good as it is today, because I take a shower every day now. I got a shower right there off my bedroom, and every morning when I get up, I like to get in the shower, and I wake up, number one, and think for a little bit, and get my head straightened out and screwed on straight. And so I take a shower every morning, so that's a big change from, you know, back in the olden days when we only took a bath once a week. And that's because it was less convenient. First of all, we didn't have showers, and secondly, nobody thought that you needed to take a bath more than once a week. Well, you know, unless you got dirty, you know, sometimes you'd something would happen. You might have to go in and draw a bath, but you know you had to heat water to do that. So, you know, in the summertime you don't like to heat water because, you know, you want to keep just as cool as you can, and have to build a fire in the stove to heat the water, you know, for the hot water tank. That was just extra heat that you're putting in the house, and we'd like to avoid that if we could. So, you know, times have changed, and I'm not suggesting that they've changed for the worse. And if you want to go to the pediatrician, you know, every week with one of your three kids, that's fine. That's an average of about once a month, you know, per kid. That's 12 times a year, 52 times with 4 kids, you know, and you got to pay for all that. This is why people want insurance. And then they wonder why their insurance premiums keep going up. Well, boys and girls, wake up here, smell the coffee. When you buy insurance, then, you know, the insurance company has to pay the doctor bills that you're creating and make a profit for themselves. So insurance is more expensive than if you just paid the bill yourself. So when I was a kid, when you went to the doctor, it cost you $5. $5. Last time I was in here to talk to a doctor, he wanted $75. And that was 20 years ago. God knows what those guys are charging today to go into the office, you know, for a doctor's visit. So I don't need a doctor very often, but once in a while something comes up, you know, and you like to go into the doctor and, hey, what do you think of this doc? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he take a look at you, and he orders some tests and one thing and another, and hell, that might all be very valuable to you. And, you know, when the doc comes out and he says, hey, you've got an appendicitis. Now, in the first program here in the series, I says, let's learn how to take care of an appendicitis. Appendicitis, we discovered, is caused by constipation. Well, hell, we could prevent more appendicitis than we could cure, couldn't we? I always tell my students, you know, you can stay out of more trouble than you can get out of. So rather than get into trouble and then spend a lot of time, effort, and energy getting out of trouble, why don't we just stay out of trouble altogether? And there's a pretty logical way to do this, and this is called health you know, just health. When I was a kid in school, we used to have health class. Health. You know, they talk about simple things, you know, the little things that you could do, you know, to promote good health, like keeping clean. You know, they used to inspect your fingernails every day. And, you know, they showed you how to use a fingernail file and clean the dirt out from under your fingernails. How to keep your nails, you know, at a reasonable length and stuff like that. You know, just little simple things, you know, like don't put your mouth on the drinking faucet, you know, so that you don't spread germ. Don't drink out of somebody else's bottle. So when little Bobby says, here, you want a drink of my Coke, you know, you politely tell him, no, I'll buy my own. So that you're not transferring germs, you know, from one kid to the next, one thing and another, little health tips like that. I'm not sure that people do that today. They kind of rely upon doctors. And they want vaccinations. Now we're getting 35 vaccines. We're sticking 35 vaccinations into our children by age 5. And at the very same time, we notice that autism's gone up pretty dramatically, you know. And of course, medical people, they all deny that autism and vaccination have anything in common. And I brought that up a time or two. I would suggest to you that you go down to the Amazon basin and find an Indian tribe down there that's never had any vaccinations, and I'll bet you'll have zero autism there. And that'll be a little bit of a clue. Not that I would tell you not to get a vaccine because your kid might get autism. I mean, hell, you know, autism may be a small price to pay for all the good health that we're enjoying from vaccines. But I avoid vaccines like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And I avoid doctors, you know, on the same grounds. Not that I might never use a doctor, but, you know, hospitals are places for sick people, and I try to stay as far away from sick people as I can get. Now, let's talk about herbs, because herbs are just vegetables. You know, that's all we're really talking about is a plant. And these herbs, like garlic, you know, garlic is a natural antibiotic. So before anybody invented penicillin, we had garlic. And in the olden days, you know, before we knew about penicillin, we used garlic. And it seemed to work all right for the first 5,000 years, but, you know, in the last 100, it hasn't worked very good. And that's because the people that are selling penicillin and these various and sundry other antibiotics have an agenda. They're selling their product, and it's a good product, and I'm not knocking it. I had pneumonia twice, and they knocked it out with penicillin. Went to the hospital, they'd shoot you up with penicillin, and the pneumonia goes away. I give the hospital the credit for saving my life twice. My boy had pneumonia here a couple of years ago, and they'd go to the hospital, and I would give him credit for saving his life. You know, it got out of hand, and somebody had to do something, and so they did. Now, with that out of the way, you know, is there a way that we could avoid getting pneumonia? Well, did it ever occur to us that if we were to eat a little more garlic? I know it tastes bad, and it isn't, and it smells bad, and people laugh at you, and, oh, my God, that guy's breath is bad. But, you know, when God designed garlic, he didn't do it for no good purpose. And there's about 140 of these herbs. I mentioned this to you the other day. In fact, there's 144 that I counted in one health food store. They had all these various herbs in the jars. He has 144 jars, 12 by 12, 12 high, 12 long. I looked at that and I said, that's 144. Now, there might be 160 or 90, but there's a bunch of these herbs. And each one of these herbs, and again, get this, each one of these herbs has a job to do. It has something that it does for or to your body. And pharmaceutical companies are quick to jump on these herbs. They're looking for herbs all the time. They go all over the world looking for plants so that they can get the chemicals out of these plants and then synthesize them, you know, from coal tar and then sell it to you for $5 a pill. It's good business. They make a lot of money doing that, and I don't begrudge that to the pharmaceutical industry at all. But, you know, just being a cheap SOB that I am, I don't want to pay that guy $5 a pill for something I can buy down here in the health food store for $3 a pound. And garlic, you know, is pretty cheap stuff. We import it now, but, you know, $3-$4 for a little garlic and take it home. And this garlic, you know, you can stick it in your roast. My granny always had garlic sticking in her roast beef. Pretty tasty, I thought. And she was giving us these chemicals and one thing and another. And we were just sitting there eating dinner, you know, and she was feeding us herbs, and we didn't even know. Now, I'm reading here from the health section in the International Forecaster. So get this down, because you need to subscribe to the International Forecaster. If for no other reason, even if you don't read the other 30 pages, there's two pages in here every week, sometimes more, but, you know, two pages a week. And this International Forecaster costs about a nickel a page. And I would say that a nickel a page is dirt cheap. Last time I read two pages cost a dime on appendicitis. Now I'm going to read to you a couple of pages on herbs. And all of these herbs are available at your local health food store. And some of these herbs are better than other herbs. You know, if they've been irradiated, they're not as good as. If they're grown with chemicals and sprays, they're not as good as. So if you can get organic herbs that are grown here in the United States locally, and Schultz is the guy that tipped us off on this. He says, hey, a lot of these herbs that come from India and China, they're grown with chemicals, you know, and they're not worth the powder take to blow them to hell. So, you know, that being the case, they're better than nothing, you know, even from India and China. But there's herbs, and then there's herbs, and then there's herbs, and some are better than others. And if you can grow some of these in your own garden, I've got an herb bed out here. And we grow things like comfrey and garlic. And, you know, there's some things you can't get, like cloves. You know, there's some herbs that you're going to have to get from India or Ceylon or someplace. But these herbs all have various chemicals in them. These chemicals contain various vitamins and minerals. It contains the stuff that you need. Now, here's a little tip for you. Write this down now. There's 92 of these elements that you need. And I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but there just happens to be 92 elements here on planet Earth. 92 natural elements. And there just happens to be 92. There's 16 vitamins, 54 minerals, I believe it is, and a bunch of amino acids, 16 or so amino acids. And you tally these up, these vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, and maybe a couple other things here that I'm leaving out. Dead Doctors Don't Lie, Joel Wallach. He's the guy that tipped us off to this. So you got 92 of these. Now, you have to have these 92 elements in your diet. They don't have to be there every day, because your body will store up. You know, I mean, you could eat a garlic today, and your body will store up, you know, the excess, and then it will use it tomorrow or next week when it needs it. But whatever's in this garlic, you're going to need to get. Now, it isn't just in garlic, because there's usually, when you're reading about herbs, there's about, oh, four, five, six, seven of these herbs that contain this particular vitamin, mineral, or amino acid that you're going to need. Now, here's what our problem is. Here in the United States, and I suspect you're probably suffering from the same problem where you're at, we've been using chemical farming for so long that the soil is worn out, and the soil does not have some of these minerals and these elements in it. For instance, here in the Midwestern United States, there's a general shortage of iodine in the soil. In some places, there's a lot of iodine, and other places, there isn't. Now, if you don't have enough iodine, you will develop a condition called goiter. They used to call it Adam's apple. When I was a kid, there was a lot of it. I mean, a lot of people had this funny knot in their neck, in their throat. And when they would talk, their Adam's apple would jump up and down. It was just funny. You know, it was really kind of humorous. All right. Now, we've discovered what causes that. It's a lack of iodine causes that goiter. I don't think it's fatal. I'm not really sure that it's even debilitating. But it's kind of funny. And if you want to avoid humor, you know, then you want to eat more iodine. And the way that we've solved that problem is in iodized salt. And so when you go to the store, you buy salt, and we try to buy iodized salt. Salt with iodine that's added to it. And it has virtually eliminated goiter in the United States. In fact, it's so rare today, I don't think I've seen anybody with an Adam's apple for 20 years. I mean, it's just that rare here. So, see how simple this thing is? It's just nutrition. You're lacking something, and it causes a symptom. It causes a condition. That's starvation. You're starving for iodine. You're starving for vitamin C, and that's why you got scurvy. See how simple this is? Or you got a toxic condition. You know, you got poisons. You got too much protein. Gave you gout. So you got poisoned with protein. I mean, you could drink so much water, you know, it would kill you. There's all kinds of ways for you to expire. Things that we need every day, like arsenic. Did you know that arsenic is a vital nutrient? Yeah, believe it or not, arsenic is a vital nutrient. It's a metal, and you have to have a little bit of arsenic. You get it naturally out of your carrots and peas and beans. It's organic arsenic, by the way, that you're looking for here. You don't have to go out of your way to get it. There seems to be plenty of it around. But if you're lacking in one of these nutrients, vitamins, minerals, or amino acids, you develop a symptom, and there's 450 of these symptoms. That's in the physician's desk reference. So the doctor, when you go to the doctor, he asks you questions. You answer his questions. He puts the questions and answers together with one of those 450 diseases or syndromes or symptoms that you've got in the physician's desk reference, and then he hangs a label on it, and he says, you've got Hansen's disease. You've got muscular dystrophy. You've got Parkinson's disease, or, see? And so then he recommends a regimen. Typically it's drugs, but sometimes, you know, it may be a dietary regimen. And then you can solve that problem, get your health back. Okay, and that's all we're dealing with here. In the International Forecaster, there's a section in here every week that deals with herbs, vitamins, minerals, health, and it deals with, here's the way you treat that without a medical doctor. And I bring that to your attention because the world is going through what we call a global financial crisis. It's called the GFC. In the privateer, Bill Buckler, he calls that the GFC, Global Financial Crisis. And the ultimate end of this is hyperinflation. There's going to be widespread unemployment and wild, off-the-wall inflation, hyperinflation, and the healthcare industry is going to break down. The system's going to break down, and when it does, And people sometimes say, well, how do you know that's going to happen? Well, because every time we've had hyperinflation in the past, that's what's happened. History, you see, is a guide to the present and the future. So, you know, you take a look. And then from this hyperinflation, what's coming? War. World War III is coming. How do I know that? Because the politicians always engineer a war to get your mind off the economy. It's just, you know, it's the way it's always been in the past. What the hell makes you think it's going to be any different tomorrow than it was yesterday? And in science, they call that uniformitarianism. All right, now with that then in mind, then you and I have a problem. Because, see, today we're used to, like my granddaughter, see, she's used to just going into the pediatrician. Well, what happens when her old man loses his job and there's no money to pay the pediatrician or Medicaid fold up or the economy collapses and there's no money and, you know, and then what are you going to do? And she's overly dependent upon these doctors, and it's because she's young. She's, you know, 23 years old or something like that. just dumb, you know, just young and dumb. Now, her old granny, you know, who's 70 years old, she knows all about these herbs. And so granny and me, you know, we don't go to doctors. We use these herbs, and we've got pretty good health. You know, we're not wearing glasses. You know, my wife uses them once in a while to read, but she normally doesn't wear glasses. And so far, I don't need them, and I don't need a hearing aid yet, and I'm still able to walk and get around, you know, without my walker and canes and cripples and one thing and another. So I thought I'd pass that one on to you. So this is really fairly simple. Fairly simple. When you get a pain, when you get symptoms over here, you're starving to death or you're being poisoned. So we need to take the poison away. So last time we took a look and we found appendicitis. What causes appendicitis? Constipation. Constipation. It's a poisoning is what it is. And when it blocks your appendix and your appendix builds up, you know, with the fluids that are in your appendix, it builds up and then pretty soon it breaks. And then you have a ruptured appendix, and then that causes peritonitis, and peritonitis will kill you. And appendicitis is tricky, and it's serious. And so let's take a look here at herbs. I've often mentioned that illness is due to a malfunction in the body, and it's often, or more often than not, it's caused by a blockage of some kind. System malfunction in your body is really system constipation. And the way to address the cause of illness is to use what I call blockage busters. Sometimes the way to remove the blockage is to improve circulation or to remove toxins. And most of the time we need to do both. Removing blockages can seem like trying to move a mountain. Therefore, you'll need herbs designed to do just that. And so there are herbs out here. God designed these herbs for that purpose. Now, you have a lymph system in your body, lymph, and you got these lymph nodes. When we kill a cow, we have to cut these lymph nodes out. They're located in certain places in the body. Under your armpits, you got a couple of lymphs. So when they do a radical mastectomy, they cut out your lymph, and they cut off your breasts. So when you get breast cancer, girls, it's fairly simple. You've got a blockage in your lymph system, and it's unable to remove the toxins from your breasts, which then metastasizes into cancer, and then the doctor says, well, we've got to take them off. Well, wait a minute here, boys and girls. What if we could keep your lymph system open and your lymph juice was going through your breasts? And it removed all that toxic sludge in your breasts, and you never got breast cancer. Or better yet, if you get breast cancer, why don't we clean out your lymph and see if your lymph will clean out your breasts and cure the cancer? I mean, it's a wild new idea. I don't deny it, but have you ever thought about that? Now, not everybody gets breast cancer, but here in the United States, it's pretty common. And that's because here in the United States, we have a pretty common diet. Pretty common. We use a lot of sugar, a lot of white flour. It ain't nothing better than Winchell's donuts, you know. What do they call those crystal creams or coffee creams or something like that, donuts? You know, if God made anything better than a donut to eat, he must have kept it for himself. But while I like donuts and I like coffee, and there's a lot of things, you know, that taste real good, they plug up certain body organs. Now, an old doctor once told me, he's an old naturopathic doctor, an old Indian naturopath told me years ago, he said, you have 32 fluids in your body. I didn't know that. Well, let's stop and think about it for a minute. You got tears in your eyes, and you've got tear ducts up there in your eyes, and sometimes your eyes run and they get watery, and sometimes they're dry, you know. Well, that's a malfunction of your tear duct. It's either producing too much or it's not producing enough. But you don't have that those tears that you have in your eyes, so you don't have that running around in your arteries. It's just a peculiar fluid that you find in your eyes. Take your urine, for instance. See, you don't have urine running out of your eyes. See, that's running out of your kidneys. Isn't that special? So you've got urine, that's a body fluid. And you got tears, that's a body fluid. You got saliva. You ever think about that? You know, in your mouth, you got this saliva. This saliva ain't running out your eyes, and ain't running out your kidneys, you know. It's just a body fluid that's just in your mouth. And then down inside your body, you know, inside your stomach, you've got these acids and digestive juices and one thing and another. Well, the doctors, you know, they've been studying people for a long time, and they've just been looking around all over people's bodies. Long before the TSA ever got into the act, you know, of exposing your body and taking pictures of it, doctors have been doing that, you know, for a long time. Well, anyway, they got 32 of them. Now, you know, I'm just hearsay, just telling you what this old doc told me. And he said, every one of these fluids comes out of a particular part of your body which is designed to make that particular fluid. And if it gets plugged up, you know, if your tear ducts get plugged up, if your kidneys get plugged up, you're going to have problems. Oh, it's going to be painful. It's not going to feel good at all. Everything has to work. Your kidneys have to work. Your saliva has to be manufactured. You ever get dry mouth? You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and your mouth is dry. You've been breathing through your mouth. And it's just all dried out. And boy, oh my God, it's just terrible. So, you know, it takes a little time to get some more saliva cooking, you know. You close your mouth, breathe through your nose, drink a glass of water, and get your mouth juiced up again, you know. Dry mouth. Okay. That's a symptom that is caused by a lack of saliva. And it could get real serious. I mean, you can't digest your food. You're going to die without saliva. All right. So now you need to feed and you need to clean these out. And so there are certain herbs here that'll do that. It'll feed your body, feed your immune system so that your body works. Now, your body is a pretty good machine. If you think about it, it's designed to last for 70 years trouble-free. To do that, you've got to service it. You've got to change the oil, fill it with antifreeze, burn unleaded fuel. I mean, you know, you do this with your car, don't you? You're real careful about your car. You change the oil, put in the right kind of fuel, make sure that you got antifreeze in the radiator so it doesn't freeze in the winter. People take better care of their cars than they do of their own bodies. And then your body is really expensive. I mean, if you think $25 an hour over at Mike is expensive, you wait until you go to the doctor. And you'll find out what expensive is. This is why you want insurance. But insurance is more expensive than paying cash. Yep, more expensive. Now, the reason people like insurance is because they got somebody else paying the premium, you know, like your employer or the government. Well, that's going to break down one of these days, and when it does, that isn't going to be very pleasant at all. And my granddaughter's going to wake up to reality, and she ain't going to have that pediatrician to take them three little bread snappers to. And then she's going to call Granny, like they always do. They always call Granny. Well, now what am I going to do? All right, so it's halfway time. I got to give you a reminder here, and we'll come back, and we'll take a look at moving mountains with herbs right after this. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on Compact Disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page. You can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give, though, don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend mean that those people are going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. And these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, now while we're in the process here of endorsing somebody, let's endorse the International Forecaster. They're at Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. And the zip code down there is 33951-0518. So, their post office box is 510-518, and their zip code is 33951-0518. And they tell you if you want to write to them, you got to use that 0518 in order to get into their post office box in your zip code. Oh, here's the price right here. It's $159.95 in U.S. funds. That's $160. And the guy's name is Robert Chapman, and you can go to their website. It's International Forecaster. It's or if you want to do a little correspondence with him, you can go to Bob at INTFORECASTER. That's all one word, INTFORECASTER.com. And for your subscription and renewal, you go to info, I-N-F-O, at I-N-T-F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com, internationalforecaster.com. And you can check out their website at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. So it's all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com, and they have a section in here on health. Not to leave out all the rest of the main purpose for the newsletter, which is economics. It's an economics newsletter and forecasting paper. Usually about 30 pages twice a week, in round numbers. $160 a year. It's dirt cheap, 5 cents a page. And there's a section in here that deals with health every week. Health. And it's a good one, too. And he's been doing this now for years, and every week it's a different subject, different matter, and deals with herbs and vitamins. And here's how to short circuit the medical program. For instance, we have here in the United States now, we got the Obamacare program coming in. Well, on page 18, there's an exemption for religious objectors. That's people like me. And I'm going to opt out of the Medicare, Medicaid, and Obamacare program. Yeah, little Georgie Gordon isn't going to participate in the program. And no, they're not going to put me in prison. And no, they're not going to lock me up or do something bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil. No, they're not going to fine me. No. See, there's an exemption in here for people like me. And I'm kind of a peculiar fella, oddball, and I don't deny it. And I'm not asking you to join me. You know, if you want Obamacare, get after it. Get right in there, get into it, right up to your armpits. Now, for those of you that want to avoid that abortion, you know, then you might want to be thinking about some alternative. And the alternative here is called herbs. And Wendy starts off and she says, I've often mentioned that illness is due to malfunction in the body, and it's more often than not caused by a blockage of some kind. System malfunction is really system constipation. The way to address the cause of illness is to use what I call blockage busters. Sometimes the way to remove the blockage is to improve circulation or to remove toxins, and most of the time we need to do both. Removing blockages can seem like trying to move a mountain, therefore you will need herbs designed to do just that. Now, from the bottom up, you have system failure when you have constipated bowels. Various illnesses occur when the bowel isn't functioning properly or eliminating regularly. Our ancient ancestors knew that all disease begins in the bowel. Why have modern healers gotten away from this basic knowledge? Well, getting back to basics is what we need to do. So, do you know psyllium, spelled P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M, psyllium? Most people have no clue as to what psyllium is. However, mentioned Metamucil, and they make the connection that psyllium is a laxative. Well, actually, Metamucil is psyllium seeds with a sweetener, flavoring and coloring added. Diabetics should not use it due to the added sugar. Psyllium is an important seed, which has been cultivated in India and Pakistan for thousands of years. Well, in the 16th century, it made its way to Europe, and it was used for constipation. It is a seed that is soluble in water, and it expands to 10 times its original size when wet, and it releases mucilaginous properties and medicinal action. European physicians adopted the use of psyllium from folk treatments because it is excellent for the GI tract, providing fiber, and it soothes the bowel tissue. For centuries, psyllium has been used for diarrhea, hemorrhoids, constipation, urinary problems, other bowel problems, and high blood pressure. Psyllium was not used in America until after World War I. History proves that psyllium is a safe and gentle laxative and no side effects. Most people, when they see a psyllium plant, they confuse it with plantain because they look similar and they think they're just weeds. Today, psyllium is one of America's most popular natural laxatives. Psyllium is an ingredient many over-the-counter laxatives contain, such as Fiberol. So, the manufacturers of laxatives, see, they simply take the psyllium and they put that into their pill and they sell it to you. Well, it's the way life is, you know. It's a trade secret. That's all. All we're dealing here is with a trade secret. Let me give you a trade secret. Bulls When they charge, close their eyes. That's the trade secret of the bullfighter. See how simple that is? The bullfighter knows that when the bull charges, his eyes will be closed. So he steps back out of the way. And the bull goes by, and you cheer, and you laugh, and you jump up and down, and you get real excited. It's a trade secret. He didn't want anybody to know that. So everybody that has a trade secret, he's out there selling his trade secret, see? All except us plumbers. You know, when a plumber gets in here to clear out your drain, he's actually getting right in there, you know, with his hands, and he's clearing out your drain. Got a broken sewer pipe, the plumber, he didn't have much of a trade secret. He's just actually getting right in there and doing it. Now, the rest of the professionals out there, they've got little trade secrets. And these trade secrets are selling to you at inflated prices. And if you've got the money and you want to pay the inflated prices, hell, that's what makes the economy work. Get out there and do it. Stimulate the economy and go see your doctor today. Your doctor probably needs the extra money to pay his boat payments and airplane payments and stuff, just like you and I do. But now you know the secret to constipation is psyllium. Psyllium. It's not the only thing now. You know, prunes are great. I got to tell you that prunes and prune juice, that'll start your bowel to working. Now, what most of you people have is constipation. And this constipation causes disease. Most disease is caused by constipation. And it can be constipation of your bowel. Or it can be constipation of your kidneys, or constipation of your tear ducts. You get 32 fluids in your body, and you need to keep them all open and functioning, and especially your lymph system, ladies. Lymph system. Always remember, lymph system and breast removal go together. Now, if you want your breasts removed, they've got surgery, they've got doctors, they've got places they can do that in a heartbeat. Now, frankly, I would like to die with my right leg. I knew an old friend of mine. He got cancer in the right leg. Got it in his ankle. I guess you call that ankle cancer. And then they cut off his ankle, cut off his foot. And then the cancer developed up in his knee, so they cut his leg off. And then the cancer developed further up his thigh, so they cut his leg off, clear up. And then cancer developed. It finally killed him. Killed him. Well, Jack died from cancer. Now, they made a lot of money off of Jack. He was a great guy, old Jack was. Jack Rhodes was his name. And you know, they got his foot first, and then they got his leg, and then they got his upper leg, and then they kept treating him, and they kept paying, and they kept paying, kept treating, and finally he died from cancer. Never entered anybody's mind. What's causing this cancer? Look, cutting off your foot doesn't cure the cancer. It eliminates the symptom. I told you last program, there is a lady, and her mother died from breast cancer, and she wants to eliminate breast cancer, so she had her breasts removed. Nothing wrong with them. They were fine. But one thing's for sure, she will not die from breast cancer. But that doesn't mean that she isn't going to die from cancer. The cancer would have developed in her breasts, but now it's going to develop in her spleen or kidneys or liver or someplace else, and she'll die from cancer. And that's because cancer is a metabolic disease that's caused by constipation. Constipation of one of your 32 vital liquid or organs. That's producing these liquids in your body. You know, like saliva, or your urine, or your tear ducts, and so on. Now, what we're trying to do here with herbs is to get all of your body functions working, and all 32 of those have to be working. Body fluids. You know, all of those 32 body fluid organs have to work. every day, all the time. I'm sorry to report to you it's that complex, but then your body's pretty complex. Now, scientific studies suggest that the fiber in psyllium lowers cholesterol and helps control blood sugar. All right, now you diabetics out there, you got diabetes. You got a blood sugar problem. Has it occurred to you yet that your blood sugar problem is attached to your colon and that you're constipated? The German E-Commission expert panel of MDs, scientists, and naturopaths have determined that psyllium seeds are a safe natural treatment for diarrhea, hemorrhoids, IBS, and constipation. A report in Diseases of the Colon and Rectum found that psyllium is effective at treating hemorrhoids by reducing the stress on the rectum. Researchers in Israel studied 35 patients suffering from chronic constipation. They gave the group a pharmaceutical, a placebo or a natural laxative containing psyllium, and aloe. After a two-week period, the group on the placebo showed no improvement. The group on the pharmaceutical showed some improvement, and those on the psyllium and aloe product had total improvement. Afterward, the group using the psyllium and aloe continued to have softer stools and normal bowel function after stopping the natural product. The group using the pharmaceutical product had recurring constipation after they stopped using the drug. Let me pause right there, put a mark in the margin. Let's suppose that you were in the pharmaceutical business and you were selling laxatives. And this laxative that you're selling solves the constitution problem forever. Or would you rather be selling a product that has to be used continually for the rest of your life? Now, my grandma used laxatives. She was constipated. She ate white bread and white sugar and white flour and all the stuff that plugs you up. Ah, but my granny, she had a cure for that. She took these laxatives, pharmaceutical laxatives, and she swore by them. She said, it keeps me regular. And it did. No doubt about it. But it also kept her dependent upon this pharmaceutical product for all of her life, which was great for Merck and Pfizer and the pharmaceutical industry. She could have done the same thing with a natural product, just a natural food product that you're going to buy and use all the time, you know, such as it could be prunes or prune juice, or it could be psyllium or psyllium seeds or aloe products and so on. There are natural foods that you can just buy and incorporate into your diet that keeps you regular. Now, I don't take these laxatives. I don't need to. And I'm also clued in and smart enough to know that if I develop any symptoms of constipation, that I need to take action today. And so then I change my diet a little bit and I include more fiber. It could be psyllium. And then it eliminates that problem. And at the same time, I'm eliminating breast cancer, colon cancer, rectal cancer. I'm eliminating heart disease and stroke and diabetes and 55 other symptoms and causes of disease over here. By eliminating constipation, I can eliminate not quite, but almost 450 other diseases all at the same time. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, okay. You know, this isn't the program, you know, that we're going to badger you and tell you, hell, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell and burn in hell fire for all of eternity. Because, frankly, I really don't care what you do. It's no skin off my back, as one old ag teacher used to tell me, well, it's no skin off my back one way or the other. Now, our objective here is to clue you in. We want to give you some information, tell you where to go get the information. Now, that's why I told you about the International Forecaster. Because, see, I can only tell you about a few of these herbs and a few stories. But there's a story coming out here 52 times a year. It's been going on for years. There's 450 of these symptoms that you need to be on top of. And I'm collecting these. I've collected all of these magazines every week, and I'm cutting out and I'm putting them into a binder so that when I come up with appendicitis, I'm going to put it A, B, C, D, you know, A, appendicitis, and then C, constipation, so that I'll have my own little physician's desk reference here. And then as I go through the rest of my life, when one of these symptoms crops up, I can flip over here in my book and say, oh, here's the way to solve that appendicitis problem. Because, you know, I can't remember every herb. You know, I'm not an herbalist. Don't want to be. It's just that when something comes up and I get this tender spot on my belly button and it moves down to my right side and I develop a fever and I say, oh my God, I've got an appendicitis. Oh, I know what to do for appendicitis. I'm going to go to my International Forecaster collection under A for appendicitis. And I'm going to look that up and find out what I need to do. How do I solve that problem myself? Now, I may want a doctor, too, you know. I mean, it could be that when it pops or breaks or gets close to, I might need surgery, and I wouldn't preclude that. I can live without my appendix, but I can live a hell of a lot better with it. And as long as I can keep that sucker in me and doing its job, I'm going to do that. And as long as I can keep it free and clear, I'm going to do that, too. Because it's got a fluid in there, and that fluid needs to go into my bowel and kill the parasites. And if I cut my appendix out, I won't have that tool in my immune system. I think I want to keep it. And you ladies out there, those breasts are pretty valuable to you. You might want to hang on to them a little longer than you've been thinking about. And you can do that by cleaning out your lymph. Now, the group using the pharmaceutical product had recurring constipation after stopping the drug. And research also discovered that psyllium helps to lower cholesterol. So how does psyllium do that? Well, the fiber in psyllium pulls the cholesterol out of your bloodstream to prevent blocked arteries and lowers our risk of heart disease and stroke. And a study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that a teaspoon of psyllium taken 3 times a day lowered the cholesterol level. And they concluded that patients with moderate cholesterol levels could lower their cholesterol levels without prescription drugs. And a similar study appeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association, stating that psyllium lowered cholesterol levels by 5% in 12 weeks. And the experts say that for every percentage point you drop bad cholesterol, you also decrease your risk of heart attack by 2%. So the patients in these studies reduced their risk of heart attack by at least 10%. And all of the studies also mentioned that psyllium seeds offer no side effects. Isn't that special? And that's just from one herb. One herb. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's more that psyllium does. But then the American Medical Association puts out the Medical Association Journal. You didn't read that in the AMA Journal, did you? First of all, you didn't subscribe to it. And do you think your doctor is going to tell you that? Well, not by the hair on his chinny chin chin will that doctor ever give up that trade secret. I'm out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.